Okay, my name is Emma Poff, and I'm interviewing Evan Spencer from my marketing class, and we're talking about video games. So I have the stance that I believe that they cause child violence. Evan, what is your stance?
I do not agree with that. I don't think that there is any correlation between playing video games at a young age and an increased rate of violence in children.
Why do you feel this way about the video games?
Well, let's see. As a child, I always played a lot of video games myself, and I can tell you that I am not a very violent person at all, much less so than some people who perhaps haven't played any video games, I would even venture to say. I don't think that there's any direct correlation between video games and violence.
So, you said that you've grown up playing these games. Were they always violent? Or I know that there's different kinds of video games that you can play.
I like that you mentioned that. I did play some non-violent video games, such as Tetris. And I suppose you could say Frogger, though at times he did get run over by cars. I played a lot of Club Penguin. Video games that didn't involve any action or fighting whatsoever. However, I also did grow up playing a lot of more violent, you can see the air quotes, violent video games that included, you know, cartoon characters hitting each other over the head with cartoon weapons, no blood or anything really, until I started getting older, and then I transitioned to games with more detailed violence, detailed gore, that kind of crazy intense stuff like Modern Warfare, you know, Call of Duty, and Mercenaries, GTA, that kind of stuff, the fun games. Yeah.
So, you know that these games are more inappropriate, and I know that games have, like, ratings and stuff on them, but I also know that now you can buy them online without going to the store. Do you think it should have stricter regulations on who can buy what?
So, the ratings on video games are really there more to inform the person that, hey, this might have some rough content. So, we start out with E for everyone. So, E for everyone means there's no violence, no language, nothing really that you wouldn't play in front of your grandmother. Or with your grandmother, if she's good at video games, which I doubt. Then you have E10+, which is basically, it's pretty good. There might be a little bit of action in there, maybe something that you wouldn't want a preschooler seeing. They might think it's okay to bop somebody on the head. But that's just more because they're very young children and impressionable. That does not necessarily mean that they will grow up to be more violent. Now we have T for teen, which is anybody over the age of 13 can buy these video games. These ones typically include more violence, maybe bad language. And then you have M for mature, which is anybody 17 plus can buy these video games. And those ones are the ones that sometimes contain nudity, very intense violence, and bad language. Now, personally, I have tried to buy other video games while I was under the age on the box, and the employees at the GameStop where I tried to buy them would stop me from getting them. You know, they'd ask for an ID card if it was a game. And, you know, I think that regulations are pretty solid. Most kids that are too young to be playing these video games don't really have a way to order them online without their parents knowing about it, at least. And with a parent's permission, it's fine. Because even if you're underage, you can get your parents to buy you video games that you personally would not be able to buy.
Do you think games with that are rated mature, though, should they even, like, be made?
I think, yes. I think that allowing video games to have more intense subplots can be beneficial in the end. I guess, you know, cartoon nudity probably isn't really necessary or integral to a plot. But action is going to be there anyway, so you might as well make it cool. Put more blood, a little more realism in it, you know, something that people would actually enjoy. I don't think that anything is really needed. I don't think video games themselves are particularly needed, quote-unquote. But if you're going to have them, and they do make life a lot more fun, you might as well make them good.
Do you think that, like, more productive games should be created? Because even if they are, I don't really see any, like, advertised.
That's because you're probably pretty sheltered from the world of video games. There's plenty out there that are very, very productive-minded. There's one game, for instance, that I used to play. It was called The Powder Toy, and you can get it on a computer. And people in it would actually design and build working steam engines, working guns, grenades, nuclear reactors. It was amazing the ingenuity shown with just an 8-bit processor, and I guess a lot of time, probably. Other productive games, you know, there's ones that test reflexes, and there's simulators for farming, making airplanes, all kinds of fun stuff. So I think that some video games can even be beneficial to help people learn new tricks or new skills that they didn't have in the first place.
So I remember you saying a few minutes ago that little kids are impressionable. Do you think that, like, if they got a hold of these games, that it could change their outlook on, like, certain situations or make them do things that they wouldn't normally do?
Well, personally, I believe that children are impressionable. That is simply, you know, something that most people can observe. However, even without violent video games, there's plenty of violent movies, violent crime just going on in normal everyday life, and even parents themselves are responsible for giving kids bad habits, you know, cursing and whatnot. Maybe a parent who is verbally or physically abusive to their spouse would show to their kid that that is okay, and then if on top of that the child also did something like, I don't know, played violent video games or, I don't know, saw super violent movies all the time, maybe then they would get the wrong idea. But I don't believe that is the video game's fault. I believe that that is the fault of the parents for giving kids bad ideas in the first place.
So, you mentioned that you grew up playing these games. Do you think it shaped you in any way? Good or bad?
Interesting question. I believe the only true negative effect that video games had on me as a person was the sheer amount of time that I wasted playing them. I would be known to play anywhere from 6 to 10 hours on a weekend day if I had enough free time, nothing to do. I could sit down and play video games just about all day. Besides wasting a lot of my time, I truly don't believe that there's been any negative impact from video games. I think a positive impact could be maybe give me a better sense of adventure. Playing a lot of these games, being transported to these new places, and given abilities that I could never have myself, really kept my imagination vivid. It's kept me happy through my transition into adulthood.
So you wouldn't say that, you would say that it's had an effect on your childhood, but not in a negative way?
Yes, that is exactly what I would say.
Okay. Let's see. Do you think you would have a different stance if maybe you hadn't grown up playing games? Like, the people arguing this just haven't played enough and, like, know what's out there and stuff.
I truly believe that most people, if given the chance and the opportunity to find a game that they would actually enjoy, I think that they would very much change their stances on video games, whether it be that video games are bad or, you know, they just don't have a stance at all. I believe that finding the right video game, playing the right video game specifically for that person, could really make them appreciate what video games can do for people. I think that a lot of the issue just kind of comes from people being ignorant, as in a lot of cases. They just simply don't understand what they personally could gain from playing video games.
Okay. So, can you tell me a little bit more about how video games have positively influenced your life?
Of course I can. So, as positive influences, I think that video games have, you know, for the most part, not had any negative influence, specifically because I don't believe that what I do in a video game is applicable to real life. I played games like Assassin's Creed. I don't think that just because Ezio Auditore in, you know, medieval Italy was allowed to kill people the way that I can, so I never let that really influence me at all. It's really hard to say. In some video games that I've played one, for instance, Kerbal Space Program, it's very fun to, you know, design the rockets and the ships and whatnot that allow you to explore new places, things that you would never do normally.
Okay, can you tell me someone who has had a big influence in your life? And relate it back to video games.
Well, for me, I would say that the video game designer that has had the greatest impact on my life personally would be Hidetaki Miyazaki. He is the head designer of the Dark Souls video game series. Now, the Dark Souls video game series I hold very dear to me. It is one of the most intense video game series you or anyone else will ever play. It is full of all kinds of action, intense cut sequences. Just the characters themselves look absolutely ridiculous. I think that he has an untouchably awesome brain, and I think that his ideas are pretty much unrivaled. I don't think anyone else has ever done anything like he has.
Okay. Can you point out some positives that video games have done for your life? Because I know that you mentioned stuff about strategy.
That's an interesting thought. Well, it's nice that you bring up strategy. I used to play a lot of online strategy games, and also online puzzle games, ones where you would have to find your way out of a room by using a sequence of events that, you know, you may not normally see. But as far as strategy specifically goes, I played a lot of Bloons Tower Defense, which I believe gave me a lot of forward planning experience and really helped me to, you know, look in the future and determine what the best path would be to take in order to maximize, in that case specifically, my destruction of balloons, but perhaps in life itself, maximize my efficiency and what I need to get out of the way first.
I know that at my high school it was implemented that kids were getting their own personal computers and stuff like that. Do you think video games would be helpful to use in classrooms?
I think that in some applications, video games in a classroom is a great idea. I believe there are some games that are out there specifically designed really to help people learn better. For instance, when I was younger, we used to play some game. I can't remember what it was called, but it was something like Rice Bowl. And you would answer math questions. And every one that you got right, they would donate a grain of rice to an African child. And so we would solve 50 or 100 in a class period. And we not only helped donate food to children in need, but we also helped further our own education. I believe that having personal computers is not really necessary for every child. But I think that in the right applications, giving kids greater technology and greater access to technology can certainly help further their learning.
Okay. What is your favorite video game and why?
Well, let's see. That's a rough one. That's a constantly changing answer right there. As I was growing up, it would probably be the Prince of Persia series. I loved that game. You got to run along walls, you got to fight zombies with a sword, and it was very, very intense for, you know, younger me. But as I grew older, I found myself more interested in strategy games and stuff like that. And then, once I hit a certain age, it was more about action. So, I went through a phase where my favorite video game was Skyrim, which you may or may not have heard of, won over 200 Game of the Year awards, and it's still widely regarded as one of the best open-world MMORPGs, when you have the online version. Otherwise, it's just one of the biggest RPGs, role-playing games, where you specifically take over an aspect of a person's life, essentially, and live it for them. So I went through a phase where I played a lot of that. Recently, I've been playing more of the Dark Souls series, which is, as I mentioned earlier, fantastic, one of my favorites. But I would say that of all the video games that I've played, my all-time favorite would probably have to be League of Legends. That is a massive online game. It's based on kind of like a rounds-based, almost, wherein you play like one massive round, and then once it's over, the game itself restarts. I can't think of the actual name for it now. It might be MOBA, I believe. But essentially, you start the game at level 0 every time. You can reach a maximum level of 18, and during that, you fight all new people. You're with all new people, and at the end of it, everything resets. You go back to the beginning, basically, and you restart with all new people against all new people, and you can change characters. I've put well over 100 continuous days of hours worth of play into it, over 2,400 hours easily in the last 3 to 4 years. However, well, let me rephrase that, probably closer to 4 to 5. However, I have not been playing it very regularly for the past year and a half.
I know for that particular game, isn't there like a worldwide competition for that? So that would almost bring people together rather than create violence.
That is completely true. The League of Legends Champions is the eSport, which is an electronic sports, biggest event ever. There was a $1 million prize, and there were millions and millions of viewers worldwide for not only the championship, but also the games leading up to it. As each match of League of Legends takes anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, you know, in general, you just can imagine the amount of time that, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions even, of people put into just watching that game. It's truly impressive, the scale that it has reached and the amount of people that it reaches. I believe that video games most certainly bring people together. I think that getting together playing video games is something that's certainly not exclusive to men or women, but is more predominant in young males. But I believe that it can bring groups easily anywhere from 4 to 20 people into the same room, whether they play rounds, tournament-based, any kind of thing. It doesn't just have to be League of Legends either. There's one game, very well known, called Super Smash Bros. Now, that game has long dominated esports as one of the most competitive games, and it's got incredibly fast-paced action, and is insanely fun to watch. However, in this game, as with all other games, there is a massive learning curve, in where the most green players, the newest players, are pretty much rolled over and stomped on by the really, really good players, and it takes a long, long time to reach a level where you might be considered competitive. But that doesn't stop people from playing together, because when you play with people more your level, it's a lot more fun, a lot more engaging, and it's just something that you can do for a longer time.
Would you say that video games have changed from just something to, like, pass the time as, like, a real hobby that people participate in?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Would you say that, video games have, changed from something that people do to just pass the time into something like a real hobby, like a sport or something?
I would most certainly agree with that. I believe that video games have changed from something that it was seen, you know, only young kids did it in free time, you know, do it for an hour at a night, into something that people can even do as a full-time job. There are people out there, players, who will stream on a well-known streaming site called Twitch.tv, and on this site they can make thousands of dollars, potentially from donations from people, and also revenue from Twitch itself, who, since they make money off of ads, is willing to pay streamers just to use their site to get more exposure. I know there are plenty of streamers out there who do it as a full-time job. They'll stream for hours and hours a day. Personally, I've watched many streams, most notable being one of a man playing Dark Souls, where he streamed it for, I believe it was 11 hours straight, as he beat all 3 games in the series without taking any damage whatsoever.
and it was very, very impressive. And while not every moment of it was absolutely riveting, there were people who participated in maybe not the whole stream, but a vast majority of it. I only watched it for about 30 to 45 minutes myself, but there were plenty of people who claimed to have been there since the beginning and watched the entire thing. So, yeah. Yeah, I'd definitely say a lot of people could do it as a career.
Okay, so I heard in high school you were part of a video game club. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, I wonder where you heard that. It's a very little known fact, actually. Yes, I was in the video game club. I didn't play it, or I didn't participate in it for a very long time. But I vividly recall my first day walking in there. I walked in with my club dues, $5, in my pocket. Never ended up actually giving it to anybody because nobody asked. I walked in. There was probably 400-pound man sitting in one of the seats playing a video game known as Osu, which involves following a dot with your cursor and clicking keys on a keyboard in time with music, and it was very impressive, the speed at which he was doing it. Well, I walked in, I sat down, talked to a couple people. I was there with one of my friends, but that was the only person I knew there. We sat down at some computers, and they got us hooked up, and we all played Halo together on a LAN, or local area network, connection. So we didn't actually need to connect to the internet, but just to our computers, our respective computers. We played that for, oh, probably a good 30 to 45 minutes before the end of the club. And since I didn't have to pay my club dues, I thought about it, and it didn't really seem like it was worth my time to stay after school and play video games when it was even easier to go home and play video games that I actually enjoyed, and I could also still play with my own friends. So, yeah, we mostly just played Halo, the original Halo, and that was about it.
Would you say that Halo is a violent game?
I would say that Halo is a violent game. It involves a lot of shooting of both humans and aliens, depending on which game modes you play. the graphics themselves are nothing special, but it's quite clear that the people do die.
Do you think it was bad for your high school to promote that kind of game?
Not at all. I believe that it was good that they gave us the freedom to play the games that we wanted to play, while also realizing that by getting a big group of us together, they were helping socialize these kids, and maybe even helping them to feel less alone, if they were feeling alone.
Spart. What would you say is one video game that you've never played before, but that you would be interested in playing?
I believe that a video game that I'm currently interested in, I've heard of a lot on the internet specifically, is Red Dead Redemption 2. It's the second game in the Red Dead Redemption path. It's been very highly reviewed, and it seems to have some of the most detailed story and action, movement, everything, really, any video game so far. Everyone's talked it up a lot. Talk about how great the dialogue is, the characters' actions, the even just the horseback riding has been talked about quite a bit. I would very much I would very much enjoy an opportunity to play this game on a computer that is very robust and very capable of running the video game to its fullest extent, so that I could actually enjoy it the way that it was meant to be enjoyed.
I noticed that you mentioned when you were younger, you played video games more often, and it slowly become less as you grown up. Would you say that these video games are targeted to younger audiences?
I believe that there are specific genres that are most definitely targeted to younger audiences, but I don't believe that video games should be lumped so much by saying that they appeal to one specific audience. I believe that, you know, there are surely plenty of men out there that would play games intended for younger children. You know, like Pokemon, for instance, would be a very good example of that, where games that were originally, you know, kind of marketed towards 10 to 12-year-olds
ended up being probably mostly played by 20 to 30 year old people that are very nostalgic about, you know, what they used to play as children. I definitely think there are some games maybe you should wait to let children play, specifically ones with more violence or language or nudity. You might expose kids to things that they aren't quite comfortable with now, or that the parents wouldn't be comfortable with their child, I guess, discovering at such a young and impressionable age. However, as children get older, I believe that raised correctly, they can kind of tell what belongs in a video game and what is acceptable in real life. But again, I believe that is the parents' responsibility to teach them that.
So you would say that the ratings on video games are accurate and should be followed, and just because they're video games, it shouldn't be like children shouldn't have access to them.
I don't think that every video game deserves exactly the rating that it was given, and I believe that some games were just kind of threw in a little bit of gratuitous violence or nudity or language in order to achieve a higher rating, to try and seem more, I don't know, exclusive perhaps. But I believe that the video game rating system is good. I believe it is important to let parents know at a glance the kind of content that they're purchasing for their child, if it's the parent purchasing it for a younger child. For instance, if a 10-year-old child asked me to purchase them an M-rated game, I would most certainly not purchase it for them, because I know that that has themes in it that I wouldn't want my 10-year-old seeing. So I would either, you know, tell them to ask their parent for it, or simply walk away. Now, as a parent, when I have children, I believe that I will probably get them video games before they reach the age rating specifically, if I believe they're mature enough for it. Otherwise, yeah, I'll wait. I'll let them buy it themselves once they reach an appropriate age, and I'm not going to try to force them to do anything they don't want to do by buying them M-rated games.
Do you believe that video games come under more scrutiny than, like, violent movies or inappropriate movies?
Most certainly. I believe that a lot of movies have been able to get away with things that video games would never be able to get away with and still retain a rather low rating. For instance, if you go back and watch the movie Shrek, the original one, there's a surprising amount of language in it that I wouldn't think would be suitable for young children, however, was allowed in theaters and is commonly regarded as a very popular children's movie.
Would you say that video games should be held up to the same standard as everything else, even though they are, like, children would spend more time playing a video game than they would watching a movie?
I believe the exact inverse of that. I believe everything else should be held up to the same standards as video games. I believe standards for movies are simply too low. I believe they're given ratings they don't deserve. You know, whether it be, it is rated for everybody, you know, a movie is rated G when it should be PG, or perhaps even PG-13, or PG when it should be PG-13. I believe that there needs to be stricter monitoring of what is allowed in not only the household, but in theaters as well. And I believe that just because a child spends more time on video games than on a movie does not necessarily mean that that one thing will impress more upon them than the other.
But wouldn't you say that children are more involved in video games than they would, like, more immersed in them than they would be in a movie?
I wouldn't say that to 100% agreement. I believe that in some cases, maybe even the majority of cases, that, yeah, a child will spend more time beating a video game than watching a movie. However, I know there are plenty of children out there who will watch movies such as Frozen 10 to 12 times in a month, you know, whereas they may only play a video game through one time until they beat it, and then never play it again. So I don't think it's written in stone that video games will have more time spent on them than movies.
Would you say that even after this interview, you're still solid in your beliefs of video games not causing violence?
Yeah. I think that I'm right. I was right from the beginning, and everything that I've said has served only to solidify my own stance. I do not believe that video games cause violence in young children, but By that same token, I believe that if a child is raised incorrectly and then exposed to violence in, say, a video game, that child can be made to do something that perhaps they wouldn't have done on their own.
Okay, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you.